Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Tiger and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no side effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult to treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by, get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
The Reading Fashion Alliance is dedicated to making sewing, fashion, and business education accessible for everyone. We are a nonprofit located at 1616 Market Street. Get ready for November 9th as we present Artisan Avenue, The Craft of Fashion. Experience a runway of a blend of couture fashion to wearable art. Tickets will be available starting October 1st on our website at readingfashionalliance.org. Our call for fashion designers for Artisan Avenue is open until August 31st. Visit our website for more information on how to enter into the fashion show.
On great radio stations all across America. It's the National Defense.
Welcome to the National Defense, made possible by Ford, by the Home Depot, by T-Mobile, by Prevagen, and by the Wounded Warrior Project.
We're talking to Terry Hayes here in the National Defense. The current book, The Year of the Locust, also so outstanding, and you've answered every question in the book for me except for one. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to try to couch this so it doesn't give anything away, but uh-huh. When the crew of the submarine, when this ragtag crew they assemble to go back,
yes,
does this crew know what's going to happen to them since it happened to the last crew?
No. Because we've got to be very careful.
I know.
But no. Okay. They don't. Our hero has an understanding.
Yes. Yes.
But no, the others don't. And so, of course, he goes back in horrendous circumstances.
Yes, right.
Because he has information that
is
incredibly important to, avoiding a cataclysmic event. And that, so he has no choice.
Sure, right.
To go back, at least within his sort of framework of his beliefs, and because of it, he has a family and that. So he feels like he has to do his duty. But I sort of thought that was interesting because I thought the whole situation was interesting because
fascinating.
For him, it's duty. There's no question for him, it's duty. But I think, as most of us understand, a lot of people don't get that choice. They get shoehorned into a situation.
Right.
In extreme circumstances, especially circumstances of conflict or war, they get shoehorned in, that they don't get the choice so much to understand, well, this is my duty to go. They're just told and they do it.
Right.
Which God bless them for that. But so it was, for him, it was a terrible decision because he had a clear idea that he would probably die going mm-hmm. back.
Right, right.
And that to me has always been, we read a lot of times about people doing heroic things, and I don't want to take anything away from them. I've never done anything heroic in my life, so I'm not the person to say this, but there is a level of heroism which is, brings tears to my eyes. And that is when men or women know that what they are about to do mm-hmm. is probably going to cost them their lives.
Right.
And they do it anyway.
Right.
That
right.
to me is real, real courage. Well, that's when you see what a man or woman is really made of.
That's right. That's exactly
and so
right.
I loved him for that.
Yeah. Well, so did I. And then as I was pondering that question about the crew, I thought, are those the real heroes? But you've answered my question now, so I appreciate
yeah,
that.
But funnily enough, I think, again, without giving too much away,
right.
the real hero is his wife.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. But that's the kind of book that this is and that I Am Pilgrim is that you don't read it and put it down and go about your business. You read it and you think about it and you wonder about it and you talk about it and you nag your wife about it. I mean, there's just so, it's an experience, I think. And I'm sure you've heard that before.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing because, that's what I aim to do.
Sure.
And the way that I explain it, at least to myself, is that there are movies that you see. If we just talk of movies, there are movies that you see that you enjoy and then you forget about.
Right.
And there are movies that you see that cling to your bones, that for somehow you remember them years afterwards. And, you know, I mean, I'm of a certain age, so I can remember farther back. But, you know, first time I saw Alien with that chest buster.
Right.
I can remember that movie all these decades later. When I saw Blade Runner, I thought, my God, what an achievement.
Right.
The first Godfather.
Right.
These are movies that stick to your bones. People tell me, and I can't say this myself, but people tell me that Road Warrior did that for them. That there were they watched Mad Max 2 and it stuck with them.
Absolutely.
And I'm surprised. You know, I go to sign copies of my books, I meet lots and lots of people. There's always people there that say, would you mind signing my DVD or would you mind signing this poster? And it's about one of the movies, you know. Well, I think Road Warrior did that. And I think it did stick to people's bones. And that's what I tried to do with both novels. Mm. And I think the thing that some of the movies I've done and the books that I've written have in common is that they raise difficult moral questions. They're not simplistic. So if you take Mad Max, for example, there's no law. There's no cops. There's no nothing. And you see him for what he really is. He's a moral man mm-hmm. in a world gone to hell.
Yeah, right.
Now, with the novels, this is a guy, in both cases, who's very much on his own.
Oh, absolutely.
And at any stage, he could turn around and say, well, that's it for me. I've had him.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a pizza and kick back. And so you see what they're really like. You strip away all of that armor and all of that, you know, social conditioning. You strip it all away, and what do you find? You find a good man.
You find the essence. You find the essence. And the other moral decision that you have to wrestle with, at least in I Am Pilgrim, is should I remove the eyeballs of a living human being? I mean, that scene. Now, if that's not in the movie, there's going to be a revolt. There's going to be – we're going to send people to your house. Hey,
yeah.
Terry, I want to ask you about your faith, because purposefully or not, throughout both books, that theme kind of resonated with me, that this and not that the characters talk about faith a lot, but kind of explain kind of where that faith theme lies in your books and in your life?
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty big on faith. I'm just not so good on organized religion, you know. It's some terrible things have been done in the name of religion. On both, not just Christianity.
Oh, right. Islam. Oh, right, right. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and you know, you talk about the Muslim community a lot, in both books, but, I just had that sense about you that here's a guy that is pretty much at peace with himself and he can explore all of these different avenues and themes of faith.
Yeah, it's been a lifelong interest of mine to at least explore things, to try to come to some sort of moral underpinning to your life. You know, we hear a lot of discussion about Christianity and should we do this or should we do that, and yada, yada, yada. But how can anybody be critical of a belief system, mm-hmm. Christianity in this case, mm-hmm. which is based on compassion and love?
Right.
I mean, we can argue for the rest of our lives about things that the church has done. It's pretty hard to argue against somebody who showed the way to a better way of living.
Right.
And I think it's easy to forget that before the birth of Christ, the highest point of civilization was dominated or was formed by some people who thought it was a good idea to put galley slaves in boats and chuck people to the lions in the Colosseum. And we call that civilization.
Right.
Look, you know, Christ's teachings were that there was a new way, a different way. And, you know, if you look at the Vikings, I mean, the Vikings were appalling people who did dreadful things to anybody that they conquered or fought. And then they adopted Christianity.
Yeah.
And everything changed. And that, so I'm a huge fan of anything that promotes, you know, decency and love and compassion and that. So I would find it impossible to have any argument with that faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I can have an argument with paedophile priests and a pope that collaborated with the Nazis. I have a lot of arguments about that. But that's not the faith.
No.
That's our construction around the place. So it became very, you know, clear to me that my characters would have to share at least that aspect of my life.
Well said. Well said.
That was the only way I wanted to write.
I'm so glad that voice came through, and that I was right about that in terms of reading that.
With over 20 years of generous community support, Wounded Warrior Project has helped post 9/11 veterans and their families with no-cost services, legislative advocacy, and more. And we're just getting started. Visit woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Have you ever lifted a piece of furniture only to discover the carpet underneath looks brand new while the rest of it looks, well, not brand new? That's when you realize you need new carpet. At the Home Depot, we have a wide selection of all the top brands. Best of all, installation is included. So all you need to do is choose something that matches your style. Start your carpet project today at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Installation included qualifying purchases. Exclusions apply. For licenses, see homedepot.com/license numbers.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria.
You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
It's fall, y'all, and that means pumpkin flavors are here. Get on over to Black Bear Diner and get your fill of everyone's favorite sweet cream pancakes, drizzled with pumpkin pie sauce and topped with whipped cream and maple syrup. Visit Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive or order online at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
Have you been trying to make sense of local government, but 10 minutes in you already feel your blood pressure rise? Well, put down the headache medicine and get ready for a new perspective. Introducing Shasta Unmasked, taking on local issues and politics that affect you every day. Your government, public health, schools, and quality of life, unmasked and uncomplicated. With a great panel of hosts, local guests, and your calls, we can unmask the lies and shine a real light into our county. Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, right here on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM. Shasta Unmasked, making everything local on the level.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Mimi Mosley here from Mosley Family Sellers. We'd just like to thank Redding Rancheria for their generous gift to us. It was so helpful and helped to keep us alive.
Hi, I'm Shelby Mahara with Squishy Doodle Face Painting, and I just wanted to say a huge thank you to Redding Rancheria for all of their support. They always help the community and always help to take care of us when they can.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
We're talking to Terry Hayes here on the National Defense. Okay, so is there any current authors right now that you are a huge fan of?
Apart from myself?
Apart from yourself. I got to tell you a funny story. So I'm also a big fan of John Grisham.
Yeah, I met John months ago. Yeah,
yeah, a great guy. My daughter is a snob, so she mocks me for that. But I picked up after I read Pilgrim and the Year of the Locust. I picked up a John Grisham novel, his current novel, and I'm reading. I'm telling my wife, I go, I've raised my game. This is not. I've raised my level, and I told my daughter about that. She goes, "Well, finally, Dad."
Finally,
but that,
Dad.
Terry, that's what you've done to me.
I suppose I should apologize, but of course I won't. It's very, very hard for me to read current books of a similar genre to that which I work in, because I rewrite them as I go.
Right, sure.
I can't say I improve them. I would never say that. But I do think, I wouldn't have done that.
Right.
I'm not sure that's a good, I can see where that's going.
Yeah, right.
A blind man could see that.
Right.
So I don't get much enjoyment out of reading things that I feel are current with what I'm doing. So what I tend to do is I'm writing Pilgrim 2 at the moment. That's what I'm doing. I'm writing Iron Pilgrim 2 and that. So what I tend to do is this is awful, I shouldn't admit this. I either read books that I know are not very good, so that I think, well, at least I'm better than so-and-so. Or I read things that I know are really fantastic, but are not in my genre.
Right.
So I will sit down and read, for example, The Great Gatsby, because I figure those last few pages of Gatsby are pretty fantastic. I'll read Hemingway because, that Spanish Civil War and my neighbors here, I think it's quite wonderfully written. Last night I read The Guns of Navarone.
Oh, wow.
Because that was a really good movie.
Yes.
Back in the day, Gregory Peck, we're going back a long way, but it was a very good movie. And I was interested because I thought there's something in the start of my new novel that has got a similarity to Navarone. And I wanted to see if I was subconsciously stealing it. I was amazed because the genre has changed so much.
Oh, yeah.
That action-adventure books or thrillers or that have changed so much. And he's Alistair MacLean that wrote it is dead now, so I can say this. I didn't think it was particularly well written, but I thought it was a really good story.
Yeah.
I mean, I got through to the end of it, and that. And lo and behold, I thought, I wonder what he thought of it. And he did an interview, which I read, which was great. He said, I don't think I'm much of a writer. He said, I don't. But I think I'm a very good storyteller. And I thought, God, you know, you got that right.
Yeah.
You really did. And there was a simplicity, a directness to that particular book, which was really good. So I went back and looked at my own work and I said, okay, how direct am I? Am I laying out my wares on the table, making it with absolute clarity what we're trying to do here? And then, so I got something out of it.
So Pilgrim 2, you've got a deadline for that, right?
Yeah.
So not another 7 years.
No. They're real bastards, Randy. They really are. These publishers. So they said to me, do you want a fair amount of money to write Pilgrim 2? I said, oh, yeah, that'd be good. That's nice. They said, yeah, well, we'll give it to you. This is the paraphrased version. And they said, yeah, we'll give it to you. But it's just every 6 months you're late, you have to give us back this amount of money. Okay, so now I've got a financial incentive to finish the book. And so it's a question of do I want to eat or do I want to take my time? So
that's
I think
funny.
I'll be electing to eat. And so that's what they did. So
that's good.
I've got a very, very good story. I'm really happy that I've got the story. The writing of it's going to be tough. You know, that's tough every day. Do a page a day and you never think you're getting any farther. You never think you're advancing. And then you look around and you think, oh, well, I've got 100 pages.
Yeah, you're enjoying what you're doing and that you're passionate about it. You're curious. You're thoughtful. I mean, you're producing such good work. And I can't wait to read Pilgrim 2. I can't wait to see the movie. Terry, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your time, man. This has been fantastic.
Well, thank you. It's been real fun. It's great getting the opportunity through your sort of medium to talk to a wide range of people. And I'm blessed. Unless I was 5 years old when I decided I wanted to be a writer.
That's great.
And, of course, you know, you're a kid, so anything's possible.
Well, the next time I'm in Lisbon, I would love to meet and have a glass of wine. And are the Portuguese wines any good?
No.
No.
Only the Portuguese think so. No. But we're very close to France.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Terry, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your interest and for your flattery.
Oh,
thank you.
So good. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman, powered by Intel. The Jetson 1, billed as a safe and fun personal electric aerial vehicle. That's right, aerial vehicle, a flying car that looks like a Formula 1 vehicle, but with propellers instead of wheels. It's kind of like a big drone, and you don't need a runway to take off and land. Rickard Stiber is from Jetson, makers of the Jetson 1.
That is absolutely correct. So you can imagine that kind of drone that you have in front of you, and you have one lever on your left hand, which kind of you pull it back. And you fly up, and then the joystick in your other hand is kind of your point where you want to go. So it's super easy to fly. You don't need a runway, you don't need a pilot license. And actually, you know, if you're let go in midair, the controls, it will just stop and self-hover like a colibri. And if there's a wind gust coming, you know, the vehicle automatically self-stabilizes so that you're fixed in the air, so to speak.
Check out the Jetson One at Jetson.com. That was your Tech It Out Minute, powered by Intel.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Online at KCNR1460.com.
Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott. Looking for a staycay or a getaway close to home? Well, the best houseboat rentals are happening right now in September and October at Holiday Harbor.
And the off-season rates at Holiday Harbor are amazing deals. And the lake is a perfect 78 degrees. For more information, go to LakeShasta.com or call 530-238-2383.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with department staff with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is financial advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
Wildfire season is upon us. Being prepared saves lives. Develop and practice an evacuation plan with your household. Stay informed about local fire conditions and follow evacuation orders if issued. Know your evacuation zone. Go to ShastCom911.com. Click on Be Prepared, Know Your Zone. Type in your address and write it down in case of emergency. You can also sign up for Alert Shasta at ShastCom911.com.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, has teamed up with the Flag Center and are giving you a chance to win an American flag. And there are two ways to qualify to win a beautiful, high-quality American flag by Annan. We will be giving them away every Friday morning at 8:15. Now, the first way to qualify is listen weekdays between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. And they're going to let you know when to call in to qualify at 530-605-4566. And the second way to qualify, check out our Facebook page. Look for the American flag and type your name in the comments. Then, every Friday morning at 8:15, we will draw a winner of a beautiful American flag from the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive, and your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. And you know what? I love discovering people, other people, new people in my world who are helping veterans. And saw one the other day. I'm watching the CBS News. And they're talking about Dog Tag Bakery, which, by the way, first of all, what a name that is. You have to investigate that. And they're doing such great work for veterans and caregivers and veteran spouses. I mean, so much stuff. We got Megan Ogilvy with us. She's the CEO of Dog Tag Bakery right here on the National Defense. Megan, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Randy. Thank you. Thank you so much for watching that piece on CBS. But most importantly, just thank you so much for connecting with us. We're excited to kind of share more about Dog Tag and connect. So thank you.
Hey, so, okay, first of all, let's let people know, dogtaginc.org is where you can find out more information, dogtaginc.org. And so how did you get started? What's your background?
Yeah, sure. I'm a military kid. My father was in the Marine Corps for 26 years. My sister followed his footsteps. They both went to Naval Academy and Marine Corps. My sister served for 6. And I said, I would say my mom served for all of it. So I was the youngest of 4. She moved 14 times in 26 years.
Wow. Wait a second. 14 times in 26 years.
Yeah, if you talk to anyone that's currently serving the military or has, already a veteran, especially the military spouses, they'll tell you that's not totally unheard of.
Yeah.
And that's just also kind of how we talk about military spouses and the caregivers and how, you know, the whole family service, you know. So it's about service abroad, but also very much at home. You know, my mom was the CEO of our family, right? She was the CFO. Right. She's definitely chief human resources, like kept us in line. Well, you know, my dad was, you know, serving, you know, in the Marines, and, you know, the Marines, you know, asked him to go places and do things. And the reality is that, you know, when that happened, my mom was signing up for it too, right? It looked differently, but she was serving her country. And, you know, by moving, you know, the whole family at different times, Okinawa and back by herself, right? And so we really do believe and do know that, you know, service is yes, the individual that is signed up and, you know, swore to their country, but it is very much the family that's every day, especially the military spouse behind them, making sure that they can do that with, you know, while they take care of everything at home.
Amen. 1,000%. Megan Olden is our guest here, CEO of Dog Tag Bakery. And yeah, it's so important to realize that. And I think that more and more people are realizing that these days in terms of what the military spouse and the caregivers and the families actually have to sacrifice as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Dog Tag Bakery is such a unique organization, started by two people, right?
Yep. Yeah, we have two co-founders. This is really their legacy, their life's work. It's both of their lives were very different. One was a one-armed Jesuit priest. He was just born missing his right forearm. And he dedicated his life to working with people of different abilities. It originally focused in the art and craft of theater, and putting together workshops and the ability to kind of learn a skill set, build community, be in community, meet new people. But he was also a baker. That was one of his jobs as a Jesuit brother. And he saw the power of once he brought those that he was serving through his previous nonprofit called the National Theater Workshop, The Handicap. He brought them in to help him start baking. And what he would say is they would make these luscious loaves and send them out to the donors. And those donors would, you know, as a gift and this in celebration and what, you know, what that did to those, you know, those individuals that were able to see themselves in the different abilities, right? They were able to see themselves in the business space and being able to be really effective and engaged. And it gave them that different level of empowerment. Our other co-founder is now Ambassador Constance Milstein. She's no longer affiliated with the organization because she's doing amazing work as an ambassador. But she met Father Curry back in 2013, and she became our co-founder. She's a very successful businesswoman and very much was in philanthropy. But she really believed in, you know, and when she believed in something, she went all in. And so she had a bakery in Mount Kisco, New York, that focused on women in disadvantaged situations. And post 9/11, she started having more and more military spouses come to work at her bakery. And she started recognizing, you know, I'm so confused, right? Your loved one's deployed, you know, in the military, you know, shouldn't you be, you know, why do you need more income? And it's because there's greater needs, right? There's more child care needs. There's more, you know, we're, you know, and so she started becoming more and more involved. And so, the two of them, you know, again, both of their passion for, you know, for individuals that, you know, are, again, it's not about charity. It's about opportunity and the quality ones, making sure people of different abilities have the quality opportunity to be successful and equitable opportunity to be successful, was really their focus. So it was teaching about, you know, a man or a woman how to fish. Right. And so the culmination of that, you know, really bringing into that, Father Curry became more involved at Walter Reed post 9/11, coming to, you know, 2004, 2008, we saw the highest levels of amputees coming into Walter Reed and started coming to give them service and support and counsel. And, you know, we need to do something, right? These men and women who are coming home, volunteers to serve their country, they're not going to volunteer to sit on a couch, right? What opportunities are out there? So the two of them came together to create Dog Tag Bakery. And most importantly, you know, yes, it's a beautiful bakery here in the heart of Georgetown, right in Washington, D.C. You can come for breakfast or lunch, come for cake pies, you know, brown blondies and some amazing coffee. But the real service of the bakery is that it's actually a living business school to teach veterans, military spouses, and caregivers about entrepreneurship, about small business, and most importantly, give them the time and space to really redefine success for themselves. So their vision, you know, that they came together in 2013, we were able to launch in 2014, and, you know, be able to serve. We're in cohort 20 of D.C. and cohort 6 of Chicago. So we've been really fortunate to – I joined Father Curry in 2012. I joined a Dog Tag as the first employee.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So I met him. He was officiating my best friend's wedding. I was in New York City working in finance, and you know, I told my dad it was not my calling to go into the military, and he said, you know, just go find your way to serve. And I was kind of struggling to find my purpose. And I met Father Curry, and he told me of a vision of Dog Tag, and I said, great, where's the bakery? He's like, I have no idea. I said, great, where's the program? He's like, I have an idea, but we haven't launched it. And so I convinced him to hire me that day. And, wow. 6 months later, I left my life of New York City for, you know, working in finance for 6 years to move to DC and start working with him to really figure out, like, can this work and is there a need, most importantly?
Wow.
And we found that there's not only a need, but there's, you know, an exceptional need for the kind of program that we have. And we've been really fortunate to have amazing team members, amazing community partners that have lifted us up, and amazing fellows that have trusted us with the process to go through our fellowship program.
Yeah, we're talking about Dog Tag Bakery here in the National Defense. The CEO, Megan Ogilvie, is with us. What an amazing beginning that is for you, Megan, and you know, to just uproot your life and move to a totally different city. You know, I love the concept. I love the concept of bringing in veterans and caregivers and military spouses, and not just showing them what's possible, but teaching them how to do it on their own. Mm-hmm. And that's such an important lesson. You know, I had an idea years ago that never was able to pull off, but I thought, you know what, if there was a radio station that I could buy and just staff it all with veterans and teach them how to be broadcasters, that would be phenomenal. And that's still in the back of my mind, but that's exactly kind of what you guys are thinking about doing. And you also talk about your fellowship program a little bit.
Yeah. So the fellowship program is, you know, it's a 5-month fellowship where, again, we recruit veterans that have service-connected disabilities, military spouses of any background, and military caregivers. So for 4 days, for 5 months, they go through a really rigorous program that's really, you know, the key areas that we focus on are entrepreneurship, workforce development, and wellness. And so while you're going through the program, you're earning and graduating with a certificate of business administration either from Georgetown University or Loyola University of Chicago. So for 5 months going through that coursework, you know, you earn that certificate, which we know can add great value not just to your resume, sure, but also to your capability going into the workforce to have a better, you know, business acumen, better understanding of the different areas that, you know, interest you as well. Now we use, you know, so there's the academic side, but the bakery is where it's really, you know, brings it to life. So our fellows work in small teams, and over the course of 14 weeks, they work with our head chef, our catering and marketing team, our finance team, and in small groups, they actually build a product that they then, after the culmination of 14 weeks, they pitch to our bakery team to see if we'll sell it in the bakery, right? So we currently have...
Oh, I love that.
We currently have a cannoli cheesecake on our menu right now that was selected by one of our Chicago fellow groups. So the whole point is, you know, it's great to understand what marketing looks like in a textbook or the, you know, building a budget in accounting, but what does it actually look like? And so working in small teams, again, workforce development training and, you know, conflict resolution, you know, recognizing you might be good at project management while someone else is really good at presentations, right? Like all of these different skill sets that you're doing, but also you're going through a process of building an idea and having to pitch that. And guess what? Some get chosen and some don't. And that's also kind of the realities of the workforce, right? And but our whole program is meant to be this experiential, right? Starting to recognize and build the self-confidence to advocate for yourself, the confidence to recognize different skill sets, or, you know, the space to step back and realize, like, success that, you know, might have been that you planned on getting out of the military and then, you know, basically working at the Pentagon or becoming, you know, continuing your, you know, alpha dog, you know, kind of role. And realizing maybe physically, emotionally, cognitively, that's not what you want anymore. So during this 5 months, you know, wellness is such a key component. So our fellows literally go through a process of weekly, whether it's journaling or yoga or mindfulness or breathing techniques, this ability to start taking care of themselves holistically. You know, and wellness is very much that, right? How do you reflect on who you are today and who you want to be tomorrow? We don't, as individuals, as humans, we don't really get that, right? And this is a cultural shift. We're going from a black and white world of the military to the gray world of the civilian. And, you know, this is not about charity, right? This is about an opportunity to get those tools, to get those resources and build that networking community to navigate those challenges, boots on the ground every day. So our 5-month fellowship program, we never, you know, it's high touch, high impact. We have a stipend that our fellows receive every month. So it's not a financial burden to be in the program. And we pay for the education, textbook, technology. Mm. You know, we pay for this. There's no cost to be in our program other than just the commitment of the 5 months for 4 days a week. And really bring in this yearning for learning, right? We don't need you to have all the answers, but we need you to have the curiosity to want to figure it out.
Curiosity and showing up is
exactly.
Dog Tag Bakery is what we're talking about here in the National Defense. DogTagInc.org is where you can find out more about that. Megan Ogilvy is our guest, the CEO. I'm looking at your graduation rate here on your website, 91%.
Yeah.
Wow.
We do.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, we also recognize, I mean, it's not 100% because we serve a demographic that has a variety of also needs, right? Like there's family needs, and realizing also there's integrity to our program. And so we need you to commit to it, but we're really proud of that 91%.
Yeah.
And those that have graduated is, you know, we're really, they've earned it, and it builds a culture, and culture is everything, right? We all want to be part of something bigger than ourselves. And so anyone that graduates from Dog Tag, they meet someone else from another cohort, and there's an immediate connection and trust, right? Because they realize, hey, you went through it, I went through it. We both, it's a tough program, I tell you that. It's not easy. We challenge our fellows, you know, both academically and professionally, but also personally. And we're really proud of the 91%, and most importantly, we're really proud of each graduate.
Absolutely.
And how they've defined success for themselves.
Oh, absolutely. Megan, what is your favorite thing to eat from Dog Tag Bakery?
Oh, man, we have a new donut that has cookie butter in it, which is brilliant. I mean, it's out of control.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, we honestly, like, tried and true, our chocolate chip cookies are delicious.
Oh, man.
You know, we bake everything in home. We bake everything in the bakery. We don't, you know, it's all, we're also net-free certified. So we go through a very rigorous process to ensure that all vendors, are net-free. All of our products are net-free, all of our ingredients. And so, yeah, I mean, you can come in, and we partner really well with Compass Coffee, who's a, you know, they're Marines that start their own coffee business. So we have our own, you know, coffee out of D.C. That we also partner with. So, you know, if you just want to come in for a really delicious croissant, They're huge and they crumble and they're flaky. It's just, you know, we want to be, you know, we're kind of an all-Americana type of place. We bake everything with love, you know, and purpose.
That is great. Did you say cheesecake cannoli?
I did.
Okay.
It's pretty insane.
Okay. I'm coming to D.C. for the AUSA conference next month. I will be eating that cheesecake cannoli. Oh, my God.
Oh, Randy, I can't wait to bring you in and have you and treat you.
That sounds so great. Megan, thank you so much for the time, and thank you for what you're doing. This is what a great place for veterans and caregivers and military spouses. Dog Tag Bakery. Megan, thank you so much.
Thank you, Randy. Our applications are open, so if you know of anyone that could be interested or you yourself are interested, please apply. You know, we're looking for the next cohort. So just thank you for this opportunity to share the mission of Dog Tag.
I'm interested in eating, so I will I will see you in October.
Perfect. Thank you, Randy.
Thank you, Megan. We'll be right back here in the National Defense.
There are people who say things aren't made here anymore. Those people should make a trip to Michigan or Kentucky. Or Illinois, where you'll find our workers and dealers and engineers and technicians building at the Ford Motor Company the same way we have for over a century, in the same place, for the same reason, built for America.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragons.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
Airmen and military people are receiving.
It's so true. And, you know, many of your listeners are still serving on active duty or in the reserves. And the message I want to send to them is that VA really compares well and often exceeds the quality of health care offered at many of the other options they'll qualify for when they transition back to civilian life. About 58% of VA medical centers score either 4 or 5 stars, the top 2 ratings out of 5 in VA as compared to only about 40% of private sector institutions. And when it comes to a star rating focused on patient experience, 79% of our medical centers score in the top 2 ratings, 4 and 5 stars, compared to only about 40%, again, of private sector institutions. So folks should be armed with all the information they need to make the right choice for their health care, and we're really thankful for our care teams across the country who've achieved these great results.
Yeah, we're talking to Dr. Sharif El-Nahal, Undersecretary for Health, Veterans Health Administration for the VA. And let's go back to some of those numbers, if we can, for just a second, Dr. El-Nahal. It's great that you guys have scored better. But then when you look at 58%, you know, it's I don't know what kind of a statement that is, that that's the best that we can do. But then you put that up to other non-VA hospitals at only 40%. What do you think about those numbers? What does that say to you?
Well, the first thing it says to me is that we have a lot of room to get even better. And that's our focus and that's our mindset. We don't rest on our laurels with these results. Just because we're better than the rest of American healthcare on average doesn't mean we don't have room to grow. And that's a really important mindset we've instilled across the country. And we have a lot to do to make sure that we have even more 4 and 5 star facilities next year. I am proud, I'll say, of what veterans tell us about their care. And the 79% of our hospitals scoring at the top 2 levels on patient experience in the inpatient setting, and 92% of veterans who tell us that they trust a VA for their care after experiencing care in one of our clinics. We have a lot to be proud of in terms of prioritizing the veteran experience. But again, we will not be satisfied until we hit 100% on those scales. And that's our mindset, and that's how hard we're going to work into the future.
Yeah, you know, we talk to a lot of veterans on this show about their care at the VA. And as you know, Doctor, veterans are very vocal both ways, positive and negative. But I would say golly, for the most part, everybody I talk to that gets treatment from the VA, they just rave about it. They rave about it. And not only the patients. I want to say something about the employees of the VA. I just talked to a young lady the other day at a dental office, and she used to work at the VA dental office. And she said, if I ever have a chance to go back, I will. She said, that is the best job in the world. So that's got to make you feel pretty good.
It does, and I think the most likely reason she said that, Randy, is because the patients are the best. I mean, veterans, far and away, were my favorite patients going through medical training, because they're such incredible people. You know, they've obviously sacrificed a lot to serve the country, and somehow they end up becoming the most grateful patients despite the fact that they've earned this care, and that's really how we view it in the VA. And about a third of our employees are veterans themselves. They've served and understand the experiences directly of the patients that are coming in. But so many more of our employees, Randy, have a veteran in their lives and really take the mission so personally, on top of being at the top of their game in their field.
Yeah, there's a grizzled old Marine buddy of mine that will just tell you all day long about the care that he gets at the VA. And that trust factor that you mentioned is very high in the veteran community, especially with this guy. We're talking to Dr. Sharif Elnahal, Undersecretary for Health, Veterans Health Administration at the VA. I want to talk about your background just a little bit, if we can. How interesting. Moved to the United States from Egypt, a son of physicians, and worked in Newark, I guess?
Yes, Newark, New Jersey.
Yeah, and has been very involved in reducing the opioid epidemic as well.
Yeah, you know, I've had the chance, Randy, to serve vulnerable people my whole career. I'm trained as a physician, but I've held different, honored to have held different leadership jobs throughout my career. VA's been a big part of my story, and I've had a lot of reasons to try to serve vets in my career. As I said, you know, my favorite patients coming up through training. But also, when I was running a hospital in Newark, it was a safety net institution for really vulnerable folks living in the city of Newark. When the COVID pandemic happened and we needed U.S. Army Reserve clinicians and active duty U.S. Army a second time to come to our institution after about a third of our nurses had to be out because of COVID, they came in, they integrated with our team, and they saved lives in our community. And I remember one of the commanding officers, I asked him what I could possibly do to repay these incredible people in uniform. And he said, you know, look, I looked you up. I know you've served in the VA before. Get back there and serve again, because everyone who served with you during this pandemic will become a veteran one day. And so that meant a lot to me. And, you know, as it happens, I was able to come back and lead the healthcare system for veterans, and it's been the honor of my professional life.
That's so cool. Hey, there's a lot of talk right now about psychedelics, especially in the veteran community. Where does the VA kind of stand on that?
You know, our clinicians and scientists and researchers see a lot of promise in psychedelics. And I know that the FDA looked at a particular application for MDMA and decided not to approve it recently. They identified a lot more questions that need to be answered when it comes to the science. And so we are funding studies for the first time out of the VA to investigate agents like MDMA, psilocybin, which is the active ingredient in magic mushrooms, as it's called, and other psychedelics to understand what the benefit can be for really tough to treat conditions like PTSD and major depression. So that funding should be coming out in the next couple of months, and we're really excited to discover the potential of this exciting new line of therapy.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that is so good, you know, and so necessary right now in some of the new information that is coming out. Talking to Dr. Sharif Elnahal here, Undersecretary for Health at the Veterans Health Administration. So thank you so much for your time today. Congratulations on the reviews for the VA. And the next time we talk to you, will you be the governor of New York?
I will not, because I'm not from New York. I'm from New Jersey. But also, I plan on serving vets as long as I possibly can, Randy. But I appreciate being on your show. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban
or rural. You must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.